In this episode of Bear Podcast,
colonizing Mars,
Jupiter ascending,
school forces student to leave for being gay,
Japanese robot receptionists,
and a guy with a giant testicle.
All these and more coming up.
Bear Podcast, 555. Bigger than the Earth, floating through space.
Kind of concerns many of us, even gay people.
He used to be cute, but that bitch just, she needs to be slapped.
Strip Cards Against Humanity.
And it's Sunday night. Did you do the sing along with Sound of Music?
One of them is gay and the other is straight.
I'm so gay.
Apparently he became gay.
It might be a source of sexually positive pleasure.
We worked on it. We had pleasure. That's great.
Is how it's done.
Welcome everyone to Bear Podcast. I am Nard.
And I am Ray.
And welcome to episode 555. And it's Tuesday, February 10th, 2015.
Happy Valentine's Day, everybody.
Yes, happy Valentine's Day. Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's
Well, not yet. You know, 4 days from now.
Yes, 4 days from now. And if you went to the stores to go buy something for your beloved, it's all gone.
Why?
It's 4 days away, buddy. You're late. I went to the dollar store today to buy some stuff to decorate with. You know, just extra cheap little stuff to decorate with for the fun of it. All gone.
Oh. I just got a card.
St. Patty's Day stuff wasn't much better.
Yeah. What would the card do? And flowers? I'll probably bring flowers in the weekend.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
But Trader Joe's has like a dozen roses for like $10, so it's all good. Just get there early.
Okay, that's good.
So, but
let's do some weekend update. Well, not week, but because yeah. It was really a weekend when I watched it. Yeah. So I posted it on Facebook, and I don't know if you watched it before. The Book of Mormon.
Never seen it.
Yeah, I saw it last week Wednesday.
I see him riding through the neighborhood, though.
You see a lot. Oh, which reminds me, outside here, there were these, you know, guys who were on bikes. And then,
were they cute little Mormon boys?
Well, not for me. They're not cute. No.
Well, most of the ones I see, they're like, where's this cute, where's the ones that look like they're in a porn movie? That's the ones I want
to
see.
The ones that go to porn.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just funny. They didn't go to this house, to our house here. So yeah,
the Book of Mormon.
Yeah, so it's a comedy. It's from the makers of South Park.
Yeah.
So you know it's gonna be like.
And I assume that it's a spoof on the Mormon religion.
Yes, it's the whole. It's yeah. Everything about the Mormon religion, but they're even the Mormon religion actually advertised through this, even though they're being mocked.
Yeah.
So yeah, it's funny. Then the songs are good. The songs are good. The production is so.
Well, tell us what's the basic about the whole play, a musical.
Okay, so Mormon, the Book of Mormon is really about two guys who were sent to Uganda.
Okay.
And then although one of them wants to be in Florida, I thought he thought he's going to be assigned in Florida, but no, he was sent to Uganda. So. So yeah, and they're trying to convert people there to be baptized.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it went around to that story that, and then one of them is Elder Cunningham, and he's the bear there. He's the chubby guy there, yeah. And you know he's got a very wild imagination that he was trying to convince people to get baptized and everything. It was funny, and it came to a point that. They did baptize some people, and then imagine all these Ugandans ringing the doorbell. Hello, would you like to hear about the Book of Mormon?
Are there any gays in the show?
Yes, actually, and then you have to turn it off. Is that what I said? Yeah, turn it off. You have to. That's the key there. You have to. If you're getting those desires, just turn it off.
Turn it off.
That's it.
So do they turn it off or do they have gay sex in the show?
Oh, there's no gay sex, but they're very flamboyant guys there. But it was good. It was good. It was fun. Yeah.
Have you watched that show, The Mormon Men Who Are Not Gay?
The Mormon Men?
That show that one of the things doing it's about these Mormon guys that are gay and they got married because they figured that because they say God will help them be straight.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
You watch that show?
I think it's a documentary, right?
No, was it's
it?
Like an AMC show or something like that.
Oh, was
a Discovery
it?
Okay. Show, one of them. It started either last week or this week. I can't remember. But
oh, okay. Is it a series?
It's a series, yes.
Wow. Interesting.
So, well, I'll check it out.
I'll check it out. Okay, so that's pretty much it. And one thing big last night, did you watch the big premiere?
Of Walking Dead?
The Walking Dead.
They're just slamming you with shit.
Well.
Let's talk about that. Let's say, disclaimer, if you have not watched the show yet, pause this, go watch the show, and then come back.
No.
Or fast forward to this session.
No. By the time you guys watch this, yeah. Spoiler alert, somebody's contract got canceled. Right?
Somebody got killed. A main character.
Oh, come on. I was being vague.
All right. Well, let's quit beating around the Mormon bush here.
Yeah, okay.
Tyrese got killed off.
Yeah.
But it was interesting the way they do it because I stayed up late because, one, I had a software bill that was going out that night and I was trying to make sure everything's happening. But I was also sitting to watch Talking Dead and they were talking about the way they did the show.
Mm-hmm. Who, there's so much
when
blood.
There's a lot of blood, but when you watched the show, who did you think they were burying in the beginning?
Oh. I didn't know that it was Beth, maybe?
Yes. And that's what everybody was thinking, too. That's what they led everybody to believe, that it was Beth. And then by the time the show's over, you realize it's a couple weeks after Beth's death, and they're burying Tyrese.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Well, so, he spoiled it. Sorry, guys.
Well, I said, I warned you.
Okay, so Walking Dead head off to a new start, good start, I mean. And like I said, somebody's contract got canceled, or contract was over. So he had to go.
I've noticed a lot of black men are dying on this show lately.
Well, they also kill off bears. Remember Otis?
Yeah.
He's the only bear. They're very, very talented.
But there was, what's his name at the beginning of the season? Was Joe? Is that his name? The one that cut the leg off and ate?
Bob.
Bob.
Yeah. I think that was Bob. Yeah.
One leg Bob. Yeah.
That's what you call him if you cut up the arms and legs in the pool.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, that's Bob.
If they're at your front door, you call him Matt.
Yeah. So. Cut up the arms and legs and hang on the wall. That's art.
Art.
That's right.
Okay. So anyway, but it was a very interesting episode, and it's going to be interesting to see where they take it. Because assuming we're going to, I don't forget what the name of the town is up in D.C.
Oh, that's in the comic book, right?
It's in the comic book.
I can't even remember anymore. Yes.
I can't remember because I stopped reading it because I was trying to wait for stuff to catch up with the show.
Yep.
So now I'm behind, so I got to go start reading a bunch of the comic books again.
I kind of stopped reading also because it's ever since Cena left.
Well,
no.
Cena's doing his own thing now and seems to be doing pretty good. We need to have him on the show because he just did a big, like, 6-series podcast blog type thing.
Oh, really?
About what he was doing. So.
Okay, that's good.
Anyway, Walking Dead was good.
Okay, so got together yesterday also with Robbie and Julio and Timmy and who else joined us? Canyon. Yeah, Wayne didn't come with us.
Wayne was babysitting children.
Yeah, we ate at Dim Sum. We went to Dim Sum the other day. Yeah, Sunday.
Although when I see Wayne babysitting kids, I kind of imagine that are the same insane people being put in charge of the insane asylum. That's all I'm saying.
Oh, okay. children are taking care of children.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, so yeah, that was, yeah, he didn't join us. Wayne didn't. So yeah. It's just us.
And then Canyon's skipped out after brunch. That's we had our dim song.
Yeah. When are you going to learn how to use chopsticks?
I'm not. I can't. I'm not ambidextrous enough to do it.
You're not ambidextrous?
Yeah. I can't make my hands do it right.
You can't even do the live long and prosper thing, right? So you have to hold
live
it.
Live long and prosper.
That's the best you can do.
So.
How about your left hand? Can you do it in your left hand? No. Same thing?
Same thing. Left hand's even worse, I think.
Oh.
Yeah, I can't even do it with my left hand.
He can't do it. He has to push his fingers around.
Well, once I get it there, I can do it and hold it. But, like, yeah, no.
Oh, okay. You cannot do the
Vulcan
sign. So, yeah, we ate out. We went to Dim Sum in Bel Air. And no Fear Factor food this time?
No Fear Factor food. I think Timmy wanted some, but he held back. So.
And afterwards we went to watch
Jupiter Ascending, which we'll talk about a little bit under entertainment. So,
okay, so we have some topics right now that's kind of intriguing. But before I go on, I just want to say,
Keanu West should be banned from the Grammys forever.
Okay, let's talk about that really quick. Kanye West is an asshole, really.
Well, I think everybody knows that,
huh?
Well, I think everybody knows that.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
He married a Kardashian, it can't get it. I mean,
I mean. I mean, when he did it in 2009 against with Taylor Swift, and he was about to do it with Beck. Okay, so he's saying that Beck should give the award to Beyonce because of artistry and stuff like that.
Well, all I got to say about that, when Beyonce did her last album, it took 16 producers, writers, and a whole bunch of other list of people to make her album. Beck pretty much wrote his album and did most of the producing on it.
Not only that, he played all the instruments.
So, yeah.
He performed the whole thing, and it became Album of the Year.
Yeah.
While Beyonce doesn't play any instruments.
That's right.
And you're talking about artistry? Come on, Kanye.
Yeah.
Even you can't. Yeah, so, I don't even know if Kanye can play any instrument either. So yeah.
Play Kim Kardashian's fat ass. That's what he can play.
Yeah, that's right. So yeah, Kanye is just an ass. Yeah. I mean, even those comments that he did after. Anyway, yes. I just had to rant about
that. But the Hozier and the Annie Lennox performance, awesome.
Oh yeah, that was good.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. So. AC/DC is pretty good
too. Oh yeah, I saw that too. Yeah, I still have it recorded here. You should play it. So. Okay, so yeah, that's the Grammys. Congratulations to Beck, and was it Ryan Smith, the one who sang "Stay with Me," which tune he stole from Tom Petty?
Well, they say Tom. Well, there was no fight over it. He just gave Tom Petty his extra dollar.
I mean, he's a nice guy. I mean, it's a good idea. I mean, okay, granted, they just didn't have any idea that there was a song back in 1989 that sounded exactly like it. And I can't believe they didn't even know about that. I mean,
yeah.
I'm sure Ryan Smith's lawyer should have known about it. Yeah. But just let it go, I guess. Maybe just trying to get away with it until...
I don't know. So anyway, he did it, and there was no big deal. I mean,
it's an amicable
song. I'll give him his money if they say so. So.
You know. Oh, yeah. They're going to give him money.
I mean, you know, it's better than... Beyonce does that shit all the time. And so I got all kind of lawsuits against her about doing that shit.
Wow.
So, you know.
Yeah. So, yeah, everything's going well with Beck.
She's
right now.
An artiste.
You're right. So. She is.
Although I do like Beyonce, but, you know, there are musicians and performers out there, and then there are real musicians and real performers out there.
Yeah,
and stuff,
real artists.
Artists. Okay. Okay.
Or artist. You have to put your arm in front of you. Artist. Okay, so let's go to our topics, Ray.
Okay.
So this is an article I got from The Gay, The Geek, and The Bizarre.
That I posted.
That he posted. You the one posted it? Okay. Yeah. No, it's really cool. Because this is pretty much how our forefathers
did it.
Just to come to America. A one-way trip. Okay.
Yep.
So this is pretty much what's going to happen to these guys. So meet the people who have volunteered to die on Mars. It's a little morbid. The title is a little bit, but technically, those who want to go to Mars and actually just, you know, colonize Mars. So thousands of people are competing to be the first humans to travel to Mars and colonize it. The only catch, they can never come back. Ever. Yeah, they can't because they cannot launch from there.
Well, they could. There just won't be the resources to do it for many years.
Oh, yeah. Plus,
the cost of doing it would be so expensive until they get the infrastructure there that...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's like trying to come back. I mean, it's not like you come to America, then you can sail back 3 months later, you know.
Yeah, you can.
The next ship back. You can't.
Here, once you go there.
By the time that infrastructure's there, you're too old.
Yeah. And when you get there, well, they'll be crying asleep and everything. Once they get there, if ever they are able, when they get there... build the infrastructure, colonize it, and harvest the minerals there so they can create, infrastructure, become an industrial.
There's a great
city
series
again.
Out about this called mm-hmm. Red Mars, Green Mars, Blue Mars, which talks about the colonization of Mars, mm-hmm. and it's science fiction, but a lot of it is based in facts.
Yeah.
And it won't be feasible for man to get there and come back from there until Earth's depleted its supply of minerals and stuff, and they have to go there and bring it back.
Yep.
So, but pretty much it's a one-stop shop because once you get there, they ain't coming back. Then you have to provide your own housing. You have to find a way to produce air, water, grow your own crops, a place to live.
So. And actually create your own... create your own infrastructures. Sure. And if you do want to travel, it'll take time because, like I said, they have to mine, they have to harvest. They have to get all these metals that they can get from there to create.
With very limited tools because it's hard to get the stuff to go there.
Yeah. So it's going to be like a whole new civilization going to start. That's going to start there.
Yeah.
Pretty much it. So anyway, okay, so thousands of people are competing to be the first humans to travel to Mars and colonize it. So Mars One, an interplanetary travel nonprofit, will soon select the next round of wannabe astronauts from the nearly 700 current finalists. Wow, 700, that's a lot. So while making a short movie and the competition for The Guardian, we had the stateless media had a chance to speak to a few people vying for one of the coveted seats on a Mars One spaceship. I learned the following. They are all really smart, incredibly brave, and a little bit crazy. Yes, you have to be a little bit crazy to do this, right? So, and that's a good thing because it takes a kind of person to choose to live the rest of their lives stranded in a desert planet with no breathable air, no Netflix, no Snapchat, no Game of Thrones.
Whoop, stop. I'm done.
Okay, done. No, yeah. I can't volunteer anymore. No General Tso's chicken up. And no long romantic walks on the beach. Oh, yeah, and no sex. Like, no sex. You can't have sex while you're in the ship. So, here's a there's a proposed survival guide to life on Mars. And do you have the right stuff to make it on the red planet? Okay, just before I go to this list, I'll talk about it after this list. So, what you will have to live without for a while. Sex. You cannot have sex. Colonists will be discouraged from intercourse because supplies won't support the arrival of a space baby. And you can't have beer because carbonated beverages won't survive the low atmospheric pressure of Mars.
But when beer's made, is the carbonation added into it?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So it'll be like beer before we were able to add carbonation into it. It'll just be flat ale.
It would just be very flat when you get there.
Yeah. So.
Okay. So grass-fed venison burgers with black truffle oil and chopped prosciutto. And any other food that can't be freeze-dried, can't have those. Can't have burgers. So your loved ones, yeah, you can't see them. You think Skype is on Earth is annoying. Wait until you're 35 million miles away. And you cannot have 2026 World Cup tickets. Yeah. So yeah, those are the cutesy details of it. But the part there, you cannot have sex. I guess you can have sex when you're there.
Well, I think the whole deal is they're talking about you can't have sex. I think the best thing to do is say, look, if you go on this mission, you're going to be implanted with a 5-year contraceptive device or implants. So you will not be able to reproduce while you're on the ship because, one, they can't support a growing population on a ship. Two, you're going to need time to get to the ground and settle it and get housing, basically housing, water, food, the basic necessities of life before you can start procreating. So
yeah, you have to establish yourself when you get there.
And I think it's unrealistic to say you're not going to have sex because people are going to have sex.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's ever been able to stop people having sex. So, yeah.
So that's part
of the more realistic approach would be that you, the women or the men will be provided with a 5-year contraceptive, so up until that point, they will not be able to have children.
Yeah,
so and it will be enforced.
That's part of this list here. So what you will need when you get there, so you need to be curious all the time. So curiosity, thinking about all those schools and post offices that will be named after you may not be enough to sustain your sense of mission. To avoid the extreme loneliness, I'll call that the Matt Damon syndrome.
which is from what movie?
What movie is that? Elysium?
No, Interstellar.
Interstellar?
Remember, he was the only one trapped on that planet for
20-something
years, and he went crazy?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So future Mars colonists will have to possess a true fascination with the unknown. A tablet with plenty of books. Of course, you need batteries for that, too. Mm-hmm. Including Travis Taylor's Introduction to Rocket Science and Engineering, and perhaps How to Win at Bridge. Healthy self-esteem. There are no mirrors in space. I guess there's not. Meat glue. Also known as transglutaminase, to turn prefab protein they serve up there into a real meal. And your friend's HBO Go password, it's just being corny at this point. We're finally catching up on The Wire. How can you, I guess you can watch it online or something. Scotch, they're not carbonated, so you can have scotch there.
Yes, but if you got grains to grow for food, whiskey and booze can be made.
Yep, mm-hmm. Condoms. Yes, that's what we're talking about earlier. Yeah. So, you know, yeah.
that's really what they're talking about. If you're
really going to have sex. People are
going to have sex. And that's why I was
people
saying.
People will have sex.
That they'll have to do something and say, look, you can't get pregnant for this amount of time. Mm-hmm. And you have to go on contraceptives.
You remember Defying Gravity? Mm-hmm. It's a TV show that was on before. They were, there's this six-man mission or eight-man mission.
Yeah.
Going to Mars also, same thing?
No, they were going to Venus.
Oh, Venus. And then
they were going around the sun to Venus and then the inner planets.
Wow.
I think.
So anyway, so they were doing that and they encourage the guys to have a vasectomy. So, you know.
Yeah, just in case.
Just in case. And yeah, so you have to have a vasectomy because they will have sex.
Yeah.
And who doesn't want to do space sex, right?
Right. So, exactly. Yeah. Zero gravity.
How do you do that? It's going to be
hard. Grab hold to the handholds and...
Oh, gravity is going to be awful. I mean, lack of gravity.
That's the other thing. Once you go there, you can't come back because the gravity is less on Mars than it is on Earth.
Okay.
I can't remember how much difference. I don't know if it would be enough that... It's more Earth-like than the moon is because the moon
is 1/6.
It's 1/6 Earth's gravity. So then maybe they're like 5/6 or 4/6 or something.
Yeah.
So it would be very hard to come back to Earth without a lot of physical training and stuff. So.
Yeah.
But I think the whole thing, and once you get there, the first colonist will, most of their lives would be eat up. Water, food, shelter. So
they might be cannibals at some point.
Well, eat each other. All depends. It's going to be interesting what happens. And then you're going to get in that whole thing, like in that series of books I was talking about, Red Mars, Green Mars, Blue Mars. Should the planet be terraformed?
How do you even do that?
Well, we have the technology to do it. That's the other thing. But should you do it? The planet's, in theory, barren of life. It's basically a desert planet.
So what are they saying?
Are we as man, do we have the right...
To terraform a planet.
To change what God put out there. I mean, that's always been a very interesting topic in the science fiction stuff that I've read about people going and colonizing other worlds.
So what did they say?
That's the whole hypothesis. The whole series of books is about people saying, leave Mars as it is. Mm-hmm. And then there's this whole group of people about terraforming Mars. So it was caught up in between making Mars like Earth or keeping it like it is, so it'll be more like the natural state in which it was made.
But if you do that, your civilization will die. If you do not do that.
No, not necessarily. You can have dome cities and everything. You won't have to be able to have a massive population like you do on Earth and just be able to walk out the door. I mean, it'll be a couple hundred years before you can walk out the door and just breathe anyhow. But the whole thing is you're actually physically changing how the planet works. So,
would that be dangerous?
So, Avatar fought that whole subject. I mean, it's basically like when the English came over to America and started moving in and run the Indians off. I mean, Avatar, that was the whole thing of them. We went out, we found a mineral that we needed on a planet, and we started tearing it up to get what we needed. Screw the hell with whatever's there.
Okay. So, yeah, same thought.
Same thought. So, I mean, that's one of the greatest things, I think, that will face us that, what would be a Star Trek where we go out and actively seek other relationships with other planets and other life, if there's other life out there, which we assume we will. Or will we go out and just take what we want because we need the minerals in Earth dying because we've killed it.
Yeah.
We haven't managed our own planet, so let's go fuck up some other planet.
Well, there's a lot of ethics in that one, right? So yes. It's just hard to answer.
But if we go into our next topic, which is entertainment, where we talk about Jupiter ascending, nobody's from Earth anyhow. But I do want to say one thing about the Mars thing.
Yeah.
The human's body time clock.
Would be slower there?
No. Is set in tune with Mars, not Earth.
Right now, our bodies?
Yes.
How did you know that?
There's a study about it talking about the calendar of Mars and the hours and days on Mars is more how the human body works.
Really?
Than it does on the time frame the Earth rotates and goes to the stuff. I'll try to find the study for next week if I can remember.
Okay.
But I found that very interesting. And that's always been one of those things, did we come from Mars?
It could have come from Mars?
That's one of those wild, hairy theories that mankind started on Mars and we destroyed the planet, so we moved to Earth.
Whoa!
So
that's a conspiracy theory.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because there's so much about our body makeup and stuff that relates to Earth too, but certain things also relate to.
So do you think they terraformed Earth? Who knows?
Maybe.
Was this before the dinosaurs or after the dinosaurs?
I don't know. Maybe that's what caused the dinosaurs.
Maybe that's what caused the dinosaurs to die. So, okay.
But on to Entertainment's story.
Yeah, we watched Jupiter Ascending.
Mm-hmm. So if you watch that, then you know the dinosaurs were destroyed by an intergalactic corporation.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, this is an article, and I read this article this morning. I laughed my ass off, and I'm going to read it. It's kind of short, but it perfectly nailed Jupiter Ascending for me. I don't know about for you, but I'll read it. So.
Oh, I have comments about it, really.
Okay. Jupiter Ascending is the worst movie ever. Go see it immediately. So what exactly, and this is from, where's
the Mary Sue?
The Mary Sue thing. It got cut off here on my, the Mary Sue review about Jupiter Ascending.
Mm-hmm.
So what exactly is Jupiter Ascending? Let's start with the basics. This movie is not The Matrix. This movie is not Dune. This movie is not Star Wars, nor is it The Fifth Element. No, this movie is like if all of those movies plus the music video for the Backstreet Boys' Larger Than Life and the really weird parts of Mass Effect trilogy all got really drunk at a party and had a massive orgy while H.P. Lovecraft filmed it. That's Jupiter Ascending.
Mm-hmm.
The plot is this. The Wachowskis, this movie was done by the Wachowski brothers.
The ones who made The Matrix.
Matrix. Were given an extraordinary amount of money to make whatever the hell they wanted. And what they wanted to make is exactly what we all secretly deep down want to make. A big screen adaptation of Stargate fanfic you wrote when you were 14 that really went off the rails and began to inhabit its own universe, complete with original characters, wolfmen, and bees. That's Jupiter Ascending.
Yep.
I mean, I want to have a serious discussion about the film's plot, but I honestly can't. I can't because it just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. What about the plot could possibly matter when part of it involves Milena Kunis and the reincarnation of an ancient space princess who falls in love with Channing Tatum. Oh, my God.
Oh, yeah.
We'll talk about that in a minute. Channing Tatum shaped half-wolf, wolf, hybrid angel alien with anti-gravity roller skates and a great debt to pay off. That's Jupiter Ascending.
Uh-huh.
Eddie Redmayne is literally flawless in this film. And y'all seen Eddie in a bunch of stuff. He was in The Pillars of the Earth, which I just fell in love with him in, which is a historic kind of biopic series that they did on TV. Eddie Redmayne is literally flawless in this film. Eddie Redmayne knows Jupiter Ascending is bad. Eddie knows this perhaps better than anyone else in our solar system, and he does what needs to be done. He swishes around without a shirt, but with a black cape for 2 hours, speaking only in whispers except for the very occasional ridiculous outburst. He is so over the top, I'm not sure whether the top is even anymore. He should win an Oscar. And his character was awesome. There's this one scene in the movie, and this is a spoiler alert about the movie.
All right.
It's after the beginning gets going. He's getting out of a pool of water, and he's walking up, and he's silhouetted with the stars in front of him, this big glass thing on his ship.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's standing up in that fine little perfect bubble ass of his. It's silhouetted again, and it's all in black, and you see the stars out front, and he's walking forward, and he comes up, and they put his clothes on him and stuff. And it's just like, oh, my God, that's the next to Channing Tatum running around in leather boots, leather pants with no shirt off and wolf ears. That was the second best part of the movie for
me. What, really?
Really.
Oh, God.
But he did steal the show. Any scene he was in, he was like, dramatic. It was wonderful. It was like it was one of these things. Like I'm getting paid a shit ton of money to do this movie that makes no sense, but I'm going to be the best damn actor I can be.
Exactly.
I'll be the best badass bad guy I can.
So I was there. I was watching it, and why is he whispering? He's whispering. Though I guess that's how he wanted the character, right?
Well, he's a royalty, so he doesn't have to raise his voice.
Oh, God.
I am God. I do not have to raise my voice because when I do, people die.
Uh-huh. And then I was watching, you know, Channing Tatum. It's really it's a fantasy fairy tale. As I was, John from San Diego, I was
Channing. It's really a 14-year-old sci-fi space Star Wars fantasy wet dream.
Yeah. And I was counting how many times the damsel, the princess, was saved by the prince. You know, I was counting that's the fourth time you saved her.
That's right.
You know, I was counting it. She was in trouble, getting shot at. Here comes Channing Tatum. She was falling, doing this, and then she comes with the he rescues her. And then the third time, he does this. Yeah. He's now in space, and he's the same. Oh, my God. It's just, it was formulaic for me already. And then I realized, oh, my God, I got caught to this.
Yes.
It's a fairy tale.
It has a very pretty cast.
Well, yeah. Mm-hmm. I like the boots, though. Pretty cool.
Well, let's talk about Channing Tatum being half-naked with wolf ears and leather pants and these great boots he had on. Awesome. They just did not keep him half naked long enough.
Mm-hmm.
It was only what, maybe a good 20-30 minutes he was naked, half naked, and they never showed him completely naked. Yeah. Which is a sad, because they should have got a good naked shot.
It's pretty cool though how they did the effects for the roller skates,
the flying boots.
It's pretty cool.
Yeah,
the concept also, but
the kind of concept that it they're not really flying boots, they use gravity to reflect itself. So basically he's pushing against gravity when he's skating.
So it's like skating. So he needs gravity to do that.
Which is why they wouldn't work in space.
Yeah.
And that's why he said going up is hard, because I'm having to use gravity to do it. And gravity wants you to come down. So, yeah. But now moving from side to side and forward,
that's easy.
Is easy. So,
it's pretty good. I mean, I like that part. I like the boots. Yeah.
Okay.
So, anyways, that's Jupiter Ascending. I don't know. Would you recommend this to watch?
Yes. Even though SpongeBob SquarePants movie beat it out, Jupiter Ascending was number three for the weekend. And I was like, oh man. But I suggest everybody go see it. It's worth going to see, I think.
Okay.
It's worth going to see.
All right. Hey.
Well, you wasted all that time in the beginning.
No, you did.
You did.
I did.
Okay.
Should we go on?
Yes, let's talk real quick about Marvel Studio changes release dates for four movies to make way for Spidey. Okay, Sony rolled over because they've gotten screwed in the pooch, I guess, by this whole hacking scheme thing.
Oh, yeah.
So they're like, okay, we can share Spider-Man so you can use him in your other Marvel movies, but you'll have to pay us. So that all got worked out this weekend. And because of that, Marvel Studios has gone in and rescheduled most of their movie releases because Spider-Man's available now. Sad side, Andrew Garfield will not be the Spider-Man.
Yes, it's a different guy, yeah.
It will be a different guy. So maybe we'll see the Latino Spider-Man or a black Spider-Man.
After Tobey Maguire, then...
But everybody, the thing. I think most people like Andrew Garfield as the new Spider-Man.
Yeah, I did too.
I think they thought he was more like Spider-Man. The movie sucked. The script and the movie suck, but I thought he was a great guy. So we'll see. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay.
So anyway, last night the internet was rocked by news that Marvel and Sony Pictures have finally teamed up on a deal that allowed Spider-Man to mingle with the other characters in the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Under this deal, the new Spider-Man will make his debut in a Marvel Studios film, most likely Captain America Civil War, and then return to his Sony for his or her own new film, co-produced by Marvel's Kevin Feige, however you say his name, which will be released on July 28, 2017. So, with that, they've changed a bunch of movie lineups.
Oh, really? They moved everything? Okay.
So, here's the new calendar with this change in it. Avengers Age of Ultron will be released May 1st, 2015. Ant-Man's coming out in July 17th of 2015. Captain America Civil War, May 6, 2016. So I don't know how much of this they got shot and they're going to go be able to stick Spider-Man in.
Yeah.
Doctor Strange, November 4th, 2016.
Oh.
Guardians of the Galaxy 2, May 5th, 2017. Untitled Spider-Man film, July 28th, 2017. Which Thor. Bumped the Thor movie. Thor Ragnarok, November 3rd, 2017. Avengers Infinity War Part 1, which... May 4th, 2018.
Wait, Infinity War, isn't it? It's not only Avengers.
Well, I think it takes in a lot of the Marvel Universe. So we'll see how they're going to do it. They'll probably narrow it down because they can't have everybody.
You have to be the X-Men there too, right?
I don't know. Black Panther, July 6th, 2018. Captain Marvel, November 2nd, 2018. And Avengers Infinity War Part 2, May 3rd, 2019. And then The Inhumans on July 12th, 2019. So that's now 12 movies over the next 5 years, and that's not even counting TV, Netflix, and other surprises Marvel might have up its sleeve. After all, the studio pulled off getting Spider-Man back. What will they come up with next?
Yeah, because Spider-Man is, compared to the others, it's really a big, you know, a big draw.
Big draw, yeah.
So. Yeah. So getting Spider-Man back would be great. Okay. All right, so that's our entertainment. Have you guys enjoyed? That's pretty long. Okay. Now it's time for the gay, the geek, and the bizarre.
Okay, our gay for this week is a local story here in Houston that has been popping around the internet and on Facebook. Gay teen says school threatened to expel him. A 17-year-old student at the Lutheran School in Texas says, which is the Lutheran School High School here in Houston, says he was pressured to leave the school because he is gay. Austin Wallace, a video blogger, says the school principal called him into the office after discovering Wallace's YouTube channel, in which he posts video encouraging other kids to be comfortable with their sexuality. He was then given an ultimatum: delete his YouTube video channel or face expulsion. According to Wallace, the principal of Luther North High, a private school in Houston, told him, "We cannot have you promoting the sinful lifestyle on air to the public."
Oh, really?
So, in a motion video posted last week, Wallace tearfully explained that he chose to leave rather than hide who he was. "I had to leave all my friends and all my teachers, and I didn't want people to think I just left because of the social media," he said. "It's because I can't stay somewhere where I feel like I'm being forced into something that I'm not, and where I feel like I'm not wanted by my own principal, head of the board."
Wow.
The head of the school told the Texas Observer that the situation was being misrepresented, but defended the school's right to expel students for being gay, which is considered instructionally sinful by the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. "We respectfully require students to adhere to these accepted values and moral beliefs," the school statement said. "Sometimes, in this case, students have to make choices and decide whether their beliefs align with our community, and we will respect their choices. We also respect the students' privacy and do not comment on any individual student or their actions." The school also pointed to a morals clause in its student handbook that states, "Lutheran High North reserves the right within its sole discretion to refuse admission of an applicant and or to discontinue enrollment of a current student participating in, promoting, supporting, or condoning pornography, sexual immorality, homosexual activity, or bisexual activity, or displaying an inability or resistance to support the qualities and characteristics required of a biblically based Christian-like lifestyle."
But Christ, like, he was hanging out with 12 other guys.
So, well, you know how it's interpreted. So, moral clauses like this have been used on many Christian school codes across the country to reject LGBT students who are open about their identity. Because these schools, like Lutheran High North, are private, they are legally allowed to discriminate against gay students. Yet, in some takes, the anti-LGBT private schools are still reaping taxpayer dollars through state-run voucher programs, tax credits, and scholarships designed to funnel money to conservative Christian schools. In the video, Wallace pledged to keep speaking out against the discrimination he and others like him have faced. "I am a Christian, I love my God, and I don't feel like this is what he would have wanted. And I don't feel like excluding someone for who they are anything near Christian," he said.
Interesting. So that's in Houston. Yeah, it's really sad that the kids these days in 2015 is still happening.
Yeah. And this is what I like so much about Houston. One of the restaurants that are in that area, the high school, the petrol station. Last week, we saw in the news that a Lutheran High North in our neighborhood had threatened to expel a student if he did not go back in the closet. We're saddened to see that this kind of bigoted hatred still exists in 2015, especially right down the street. We will be flying a gay pride flag for the month of February to show our support for the gay and lesbian community. We encourage other businesses and residents in our neighborhood to go and beyond to take a stand with us and to do the same. Cheers. So I think it's cool that local businesses in the area are taking a stand against it too.
Yep.
It says, hey, this is wrong.
So. Yeah. It's pretty sad. I'm sure it's in the news too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's go to the geek.
The geek. You got the geek, man.
All right.
It's all about you and your people.
Okay. Here's the geek. Japan is opening a hotel staffed almost entirely by robots. Scary. I think I don't know. How do you feel about that? Having robots in your
All I'm gonna say is I watched Battlestar Galactica. That's all I got to say about that.
That's the start of it, right?
Yeah.
The cycle happens. So a hotel in Japan, staffed primarily by humanoid robots, is set to open this July. It will be located in the Nagasaki Prefecture, and rather than a one-off glitchy gimmick, the hotel is part of an influx of socially reactive service robots flooding Japan. Backed by the government's support as a means to solve some of the nation's labor force problems, meaning taking away jobs from real people and making robots work for them. So the concept of the henna hotel, whose name means strange and change, and whose slogan is a commitment for revolution, evolution. Sorry, was first announced on January 28th, but more details about its operations have trickled in over the past week. The hotel, located in Huis ten Bosch, a theme park modeled after the 17th century Dutch village and stocked with schlocky rides, will feature a staff of 10 robots, and they're called Actroids. Actroids, not androids, but I guess they're actor androids, so Actroids, I guess. So lifelike replicas of young Japanese women created by the Kokoro company. Three Actroids, capable of making eye contact, reading body language, and responding to organic conversation, and fluent in Chinese, English, Korean, and Japanese, will man the reception desk. You know, I think it's just going to be robots, but then there's really a human in the, you know, remotely doing it. And it's a camera on the eyes or something. What's the point?
Yeah.
You can hire someone without, you know, from India or from the Philippines. And just remotely, you know.
So the internet goes down and then you're screwed. Nobody can run your hotel.
Yeah. But they do have people. So they did say that, four more will work as maids and porters in unclear that what remaining. Oh, it says there. Yeah. What remaining three will do beyond presumably mastermind their eventual uprising, but they will have a skeleton staff of human overseers for now. Yes, there's going to be some humans, real humans there. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's interesting that you're...
Are they going to have the robotic carts and put all your luggage on it and it takes you to your room when you check in?
Then you give a tip. Do you still tip, though?
No.
Probably not.
That's a robot. I'm not doing what a human being wants, not tip.
Yeah.
That's I'll job. Give you a tip.
You know, but then they will revolt if you don't give him a tip.
Well, tip on my dick.
Okay, so... I have an experience with this when renting a car. I'm going about to rent a car, and then a screen comes up, and that's pretty much the reception.
Yeah. Well, so, they do that at the Kurski, so you can get through faster if you've already got everything pre-done.
Yeah, and he talks to you and everything, so he could see you with his camera, lift up the phone, you could talk. It's indirectly like this. But what I'm saying is, this time it's really robots right in front of you, and I think it's outsourced.
Are the rooms going to come with the automatic masturbatory machines that'll jack you off or suck you
off? Oh, the small machines. Yeah, you put a quarter and you get jacked off. Put a quarter and
get jacked off. Okay.
Okay. All right. So yeah, that's a interesting article. So our robot overlords.
Overlords.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead. Let's go to the bizarre.
All Skynet bullshit. I'm telling you, it's all Skynet.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All right, on the bizarre. Okay. I had a giant testicle for 2 years and didn't tell anyone.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. We won't come back to summarize this, but I'm going to read the first couple paragraphs of it because it's kind of interesting. From the ages of 17 to 19, I believe that God had cursed me with a swollen left testicle that was the size and shape of a large pear. I was suffering from a condition that is... That's what she said.
Mm-hmm.
Hydrocele. Is that how you say it?
Hydrocele, yeah.
Hydrocele, which basically means there is an exceptionally large collection of fluid around my testicle that made it look like I'd put a 100-watt light bulb down my pants. Now, it was not semen, because he masturbated a bod at some point, and it did not go away.
Oh.
So, it was the result of blunt force trauma. My loving sister thought it was hilarious to kick me in the crotch whenever I was napping. So, his sister did it. As traumatic as it might seem to be cursed with a grapefruit-sized sperm machine, hydrocele isn't life-threatening and can be corrected with a pretty simple surgical procedure. Unfortunately, I told no one about my condition and lived with it for about 2 years. And my question is, how kind of baggy pants does he have on that his parents did not notice this?
That's the point. Yeah, he is a little older now at that point when he had...
Well, 17, but still, I mean, if you...
Yeah, I mean, the mom would have noticed it.
Somebody has to notice that you got this big bulge on the side of your pants.
Maybe he's just saying that, oh, I didn't know my son's packing. But yeah, yeah. I mean, somebody could have said something, right?
So, anyway, you may have a hard time believing that a young man would or could hide this condition from his parents and friends. While I admit it wasn't easy at the time, it seemed absolutely necessary. Throughout my pubescent years, my life was immersed in the evangelical world of Kill Lake, Iowa, where church camp and rapture novels made up entirely my cultural experience. The tiny Christian school I attended, where there were six students in my graduating class, offered little in the way of sex education. Mostly we were told to fear our own bodies and contemn anyone who aroused our dark impulses. For a time, I treated my crotch like it was the dreaded head of Medusa. One glance at it would turn me into stone.
Yeah,
so condemnation and promise of hellfire still wasn't enough deterrent for me. Dealing with my hungry teenage penis was like picking up a hot kettle with nowhere to set it down. With great shame, I masturbated constantly and stuck my dick in every vaguely vaginal orifice I could find. Couch cushions, vacuum hoses, like most children growing up with an aggressively moralistic structure. I thought I was the only one who dealt with these impulses.
So you think he was trying to do that so he could drain it? He was thought it would smoke.
Well, I think he was just a horny teenager.
Like, yeah.
Didn't you masturbate all the time when you were a teenager?
Oh, I did.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So, so there was no one I could talk to about it. Confessed to masturbating would be enough to get me kicked out of school. Coming in the palm of your hand or inside an unwed uterus was utterly disgraceful. Worse yet, if you were ever caught with another boy equally tortured by his own body, desperate for somewhere to put out that hot kettle. Such was the case for me when I was 17. My left testicle began to ache and turn an angry shade of purple. I believe it was God's punishment for an afternoon I'd spent with a fellow Christian male. We spilled our seed together in the shower and watched it mix atop the wet porcelain clog up the drain. With the orgasm came the sobering acknowledgement of God's eyes beaming down on us.
Okay.
So, and he goes on to talk about his scrotum and stuff, but basically the moral of the story is...
Yeah.
He got kicked in the groin by his sister. His nuts swelled up like a light bulb. He hid the conditions from her parents and friends. Mm-hmm. Masturbated constantly and stuck his dick into any orifice or whatever he could get off.
Okay.
He grew up having minimal sex because of the religious upbringing. And then he finally had a doctor check and said there was nothing wrong, just needed some cosmetic surgery, which I guess they had to go in, deaden it.
And drain.
And drain it.
You know, okay, this is my experience a couple of years ago. Not me. I don't have big balls, okay? But I went to Coconut Cove in Florida. Yeah. And there's this guy who does the saline stuff.
Yeah.
I guess you've seen people who do that, right? Oh, my God. He's got like a big cantaloupe on his crotch.
Well, that's just nut sack stretched out. That's not the nuts swollen up to that size.
Yeah, the nuts.
That gets absorbed back into the body.
Yeah, that's true.
What was done to the scrotum did not get absorbed back into the body.
This guy.
Yeah, this kid. But the nut got damaged. The actual.
Yeah, that's true. But I'm just saying that seeing these guys who do saline stuff and, it gets absorbed in their body. That's true. But then it's just really big and... You can't get your eyes off of it. And he's a nice guy. He's an old, nice older guy. He's probably in his late 50s.
Did you grow up and then hold it in your hand?
No. No, I don't want to touch it. No. But I would, I guess it would be intriguing. I guess it's all balls. It would be all balls.
Especially
right?
if your scrotum stretched completely out.
Then you would lose your dick.
Well, it might swell. It might, depending on how big your dick is, it might cover it some because your ball sack's pretty big. So your nuts can move around. When you fill it up with saline, it just stretches it out.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. So that was the guy. And then when we were there, Mike and I were vacationing. And then the next morning, he was about to leave, go to the airport and everything. He was wearing these jeans, and you could still see the jeans. Just still...
A big bulge, yeah.
Big bulge.
There's a lot of guys here in Houston that do that.
Really?
You see it. Yeah, you can tell it.
What is the sensation? Have you ever asked anyone what's the sensation in that one?
I just feel they like the feeling of the fact that they put a needle in their scrotum and filled it up, and it must give more sensation because the ball sack's kind of sensitive too. So,
well, yeah, but
I don't know. I had big balls, so I was always sitting on them and mashing them. So, I didn't want to make anything bigger on that home front. So,
you sometimes smash your balls when sitting
and stuff. But I do know people that do it, and they just kind of like it. Maybe we can have somebody on the show that we know that does it, and they'll do a demo for us.
Smashing balls. Oh, doing saline?
Saline, yeah.
Oh my God, that's going to be a X-Tube video probably.
Oh, it'd be an X-Tube video.
Well,
we can cover the penis up.
As long as you don't see the penis, right? Yeah. The balls are fine.
Well, they did on TV people got outraged the other week because they did a testicle exam on TV, but they didn't show the penis. They had it covered up and they were just showing the testicles and how the doctor looked at him and was talking to the guy.
So the doctor was touching the balls, right?
Yeah.
Checking for lumps and everything. Interesting. So do you guys know anyone, or if the audience, maybe if you're into getting your balls, into saline and or having problems with your balls, I don't know. This is something interesting. Anyway, God, it's a long show. It's about almost an hour. So what is it going to do? Oh, yeah, this week. Oh, yeah, this coming week, I'm going to New Orleans for Mardi Gras.
Mardi Gras, Valentine's Day.
Valentine's Day.
Crew ball.
Yeah, I'm going to the Leather Lords of Leather ball, and hopefully I might see...
Somebody's large ball sack.
No. A famous drag queen. I think she won at RuPaul.
Mm-hmm.
Bianca Del Rio.
Yeah.
She's going to be there.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I think she's not filming this current season of...
Of RuPaul?
RuPaul. She might be on there.
She might be. Anyway, so she usually, for many years, Bianca Del Rio is the one who, you know, goes to the Lords of Leather Ball to host. And she's kind of funny. It's just pretty cool. So maybe
we'll see this weekend. If you do, get a picture with her.
Oh, yeah, I will. Yeah.
Have her sign it. Okay. Hey, Ray.
I have to print it. Where am I going to get a printer? After a picture.
You don't have your portable printer?
Who brings portable printers? Oh, Devin. Devin brings portable printers to Bear Run.
Take a Polaroid.
Take a Polaroid. Mm-hmm. Shake it like a Polaroid picture, right? Okay, so that's it. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening, guys. If you want to contact us, send your emails to show@bearpodcast.com.
Or, for a shout-out, speaking of Devin and Jay, happy anniversary, guys.
Oh, happy anniversary, Devin and Jay.
Your anniversary week. So, if you'd like to call and comment on any of the articles we have or give us a story or just call and say hi and talk to us on the show, you can give us a call at 206-222-2327. That's 206-222-BEAR. And it works just like voicemail, people. You call and leave a message. But if you want us to get back in contact, would you make sure you leave a contact number or email so we can call you, get back in touch with you?
Well, not in the voicemail.
Well, you just end it on the thing and then give a few seconds and then put it so we can cut it off on the show.
I'll just call you. Anyway, so yeah, give us a call. We have a voicemail, that'd be awesome. Yeah,
we like voicemails.
Yeah. And subscribe by iTunes, Vimeo, and YouTube. And you can listen to the show at Bear Radio Network and on Stitcher Radio. You can also follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And you can go to the official website at bearpodcast.com. Thank you, everyone, for watching or listening. And we will catch you guys on the next episode of Bear Podcast. Many wolves and many hugs.
Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear. Wolf, what a bear.
Podcast your ass.
Wolf, what a bear.
Toasty Goof. I got big nuts and I cannot lie. Don't let video that chick. This chick was like some semi-fitness instructor. She's talking about the whole thing to making your life better is breathing. So she'd do these exercises where she'd be going like shit like that. I mean, it was ridiculous. It was floating around. In fact, I posted on my Facebook page. So.